Really a pleasure to be here tonight. Got to be honest, I'd probably prefer to be there in person. It's freezing in New York. But I do have to say that I am really enjoying one of the benefits of this crazy situation that we find ourselves in is the ability to connect to people and communities on a regular old Monday night at 7 o'clock that would have to have been part of a grand vacation plan in the past. And what a pleasure it is to see many former students, parents of former students, current colleagues, and reminds us of how close we really all are, even when we may geographically be far away. And of course, to we have the privilege of speaking in memory of Danny, and as part of this incredible project, the Danny Grajauer Midrashah is not just a testimony to Danny and who she was and everything she represented, but is really an incredible example of a community prioritizing and focusing on women's learning Torah and their connection to Torah at all ages, as many things are in Boca Raton. Just one more thing for communities around the country to look towards and to emulate as a wonderful, wonderful project. So I'm going to actually, for those of you who are interested, you don't need to be following along, but I'm going to put here in the chat link to source sheet. If you would like to, you're welcome to open that up. As I am learning on Zoom, I think it's a little bit easier if I don't share the source sheet on the screen. If somebody would like me to do that, feel free to put it into the chat if you're having difficulty following along. But this way, those who want to follow can follow along on their own devices, and others can feel free to listen and as we learn together. So I titled this year this evening, Rising to Life's Challenges. And what I'd like to do is really just take a tour through last week's Parsha. We are at the beginning of this week, this coming week's Parsha, and into next week's Parsha. And I was just thinking this morning, and I even have some colleagues who are in a meeting with me just a few hours ago, that are on tonight, that this is actually for high schools. This is big time interview season. Our students are heading out to their early decision interviews this week. We're getting ready to interview eighth graders, people who are graduating elementary school this year to come into our high school. And we're preparing our seniors for their interviews for seminary and beyond. And one of the classic interview questions that's often asked is, if you could pick somebody to go to breakfast with, if you could pick somebody to interview or to learn from, who is it that you would pick? And the foolish young person just kind of shoots out an answer and, you know, says perhaps somebody very famous without realizing that the crux of the question is really in the follow-up question. And that is that what's going to follow is the question of why. Why is it that you would want to spend time with this person? What is it that they can lend to your understanding of life or life situations? And what can we learn from that interview or that meeting, chance meeting with this person? And if I had to answer the question right now of who is somebody who I would like to spend time with, to try to understand their tchunos hanefesh, try to understand their internal makeup, try to understand how they traversed life and all of the unexpected vulnerabilities that life brings as we are all experiencing now, it would be Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, the star of the Parashiyot HaShavua. Avraham Avinu, the man who withstood 10 tests from God. God, basically, his whole life was one challenge point after another, and he managed to pass them with flying colors. What would Avraham Avinu tell us about the time period that we're in with so many twists and turns? We can say it in so many different ways. Who would have thought a year ago that life would look like the way that it does now? Who would have thought 6 months ago that life would look like the way that it looks now? How do we even know what tomorrow, quite significant day tomorrow, will bring? And certainly what next week, next month, or a year from now will bring. We are constantly being tested with things that we never could have dreamed of or thought of. Sometimes it feels like we're living through some kind of fiction novel that would hard to be believed if we were reading it. What would Avraham Avinu teach us what would be the lessons that he would give to us about living a life full of challenges? So I'd like to start with the very first pasuk from this past week's parasha, the first source on the source sheet. Vayomer Hashem al Avraham, lech lecha me'artzecha. Rashi there teaches us, lech lecha, I'm going to command that you go somewhere, lecha, for your sake. Lahanatcha ulitovatcha, for your benefit and for things to be good for you. Just want to let you know about this test, Avram, from the outset. This test and all of the tests of your life, they are ultimately for your benefit. They're going to be excruciating at times. They're going to be mind-boggling at times. But know that these are things that you will benefit from. That when the going gets tough, that is when we become stronger and better people. That if we are not challenged, then we are not growing, then we are not exercising new muscles, both physically and spiritually. From this past week's parsha in the Brit Bein HaBitzarim, there is an interesting comment made by Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz. That can be found in source number 2. Hashem promised Avraham Avinu that he was going to be like the stars of the sky and like the grains of sand that we find on the river banks. And Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz explains, why was it that we needed these two parallels? He could have just said you can have lots and lots of kids, like the stars, like the sand. The uniqueness of the stars, Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz explains, is that the stars are such that each has its own unique orbit. Some may circle in smaller orbits and others in an oblong circuit. But remarkably, the stars do not collide with one another. Each follows its preordained pathway without impinging or imposing on other stars. As members of Klal Yisrael, just like stars, each one of us has her own pathway, her own journey to travel, exactly suited to her task at hand. We have each been given the tools and the talents needed in order to perform our particular mission. There is no reason to be envious of another. We must tend to our path, to our responsibilities as ordained from above. Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz teaches us that when Hashem was telling Avraham that he was going to be like the stars, it wasn't just in numbers, but it was a quality of the stars. That he was going to have infinite number of children, but no two of them were going to be identical to each other. And they were not going to travel in the same orbits. They were each going to have their own unique path in life. Each their unique selves, each traversing on their own journey along the way, and each achieving their own unique capabilities. Rav Volbe, Rav Shlomo Volbe, one of the great Musar masters of the previous generation, our generation and the previous generation, makes a fascinating observation in the third source in his Sefer Alei Shor. He says, when we look at the creations of the world, we see that Hashem created on each day different creatures. And all of them were created in multitudes. He created fish. He created trees. He created stars. But when it came to mankind, Adam Nivra Yichidi, there was one man created at a time. Why not press your fingers? And all of a sudden, the world is populated on the sixth day with human beings. After all, that's what happened on each of the other days of creation. Says Rav Shlomo Volbe the following, Lefichach nivra adam yechidi lelamdecha shekol ha-mabed nefesh achat miYisrael ma'ale ha-kosov ki'ilu ibed olam male. V'chol ha-mekayem nefesh achat miYisrael ma'ale ha-alav ha-katuv ki'ilu kiyem olam male. This was done in order to show us the incredible importance and value of every single individual who comes into this world one by one, even twins, triplets, quadruplets. They enter into the world yichidi in a singular fashion. Hayechidot shel Adam harishon no lo ne'abda lezaro riboy bnei ha'adam. Says Rav Volbi, and realize that the uniqueness and singularity of Adam HaRishon did not disappear, or of mankind, did not disappear once the world was populated with many human beings. Adayin kol echad v'echad mibnei Adam yichidi. Each and every one of us is unique and singular, just like Adam HaRishon. A little bit later down in the paragraph, he refers to man. It's a little bit of a funny reference, because in modern day Hebrew it means something different. Kol Adam hu bri'ah chad pa'amit. It's funny because in modern day Hebrew, chad pa'amit means disposable, a one-time use plate or fork, a disposable plate. Here, Rav Volbi clearly is not saying that we're disposable, but he's saying we're a chad pa'ami. Listen to the language, echad pam, pam echad, a once in a lifetime creation. And we need to know, v'yadazot kol adam, ani im kochoti v'tchunati, me, with my personal makeup, my strengths, my character traits, there is nobody like me in the world. Ben kol achayim achshav, ein af echad kamoni. Nobody currently living who's exactly like me. But he goes further, v'dorot sha'avru lo haya kamoni, v'atzof kol hadorot lo yihye kamoni. And prior to my birth into this world, there was nobody like me, and never again on this earth will there be somebody exactly like me. But here's the punchline. V'im kach, v'vaday HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalcheni li'olam b'shlichut miyuchetet. If I am a unique creature on this earth, then I have been sent to this world for a specific mission. Sheshum acher eino yachol lemalato, rak ani b'chad pa'amuyoti. Only me, with my once in a lifetime existence and character traits. What Rav Shlomo Volbi is teaching us is when we feel challenges in our life, who are these challenges tailor-made for? Who are they created for? You and me. Because one of the things to me that's so fascinating about this pandemic, I think it's really an unbelievable thing. To me, it's so spiritual, such a spiritual proof to the existence and infinite nature of God, is never in my lifetime, some will argue, never in history, has there been something that affected the entire world. Everybody is affected by this pandemic, and yet no two people, and we know this to be true, but Rav Volbi certainly saying this, are affected in the same way. How could it be that for some people, it's really feels like this is nothing? Maybe they had the virus. Maybe they're immune to the virus. Maybe the virus affected them, but they lost perhaps a sense of taste for a day and then got it back. It was of minuscule significance to them. And just in the next house, sometimes it feels like the Makos in Mitzrayim, right? It is a tragedy and a crisis of the greatest proportions. Only a God who could create millions and billions of people over time, each and every one of them uniquely different from one from the other, can create a virus that can affect people all over the world at the same time, but each in its own unique way, some physically, some economically, some emotionally, and spanning that distance. I'm going to pick up the phone. Excuse me for a second. I didn't mean answer it. I meant pick up my spam call. I apologize. Okay. Rav Shlomo Volbi continues later on in the Aleh Shor. And he tells us as follows. He tells us that we have to be careful. We have to recognize that we each have our own unique path. And he quotes from the Pasuk in Mishlei, Holech b'yisharo yarei Elokim. each man should walk straight. That's the way most people understand the pasuk in Mishlei. To reach a level of Yirat Hashem. Holech b'yisharo, Yarei Hashem. Rav Shlomo Wolbe says it doesn't just say he should walk straight. He should walk on his straight path. Implying that each and every one of us have our own unique trajectories in life. From the time we are born until the time that we leave this earth. And he notes in the second paragraph of the source on top of the second page, he tells us that this is quite interesting, because if we realize this, then we would never be people who look to seek the approval of others as much as we do. If we were to recognize that no one can know exactly what our path is, exactly what our experiences are, then we would realize that we don't need the approval of the people who are around us. I apologize. I thought I solved the problem. Try once more. My apologies again. And not only that, but the last thing that we would look to do would be to imitate the lives of others. If they have something, that's for them. Why do I need to have that if my path and my trajectory, as dictated by God, is of course my unique path and my unique way? Lech lecha to Abraham. Go for yourself. This isn't the same journey that I'm putting anybody else on in the world that you live in, but this is something which is tailor-made for you. Lesson number one from Avram Avinu and from his life is that the challenges are life. They are there for you. They are designed for you, and they are yours to rise to. Lesson number two is something which the Nesiva Shalom elucidates in source number four. He too speaks quite a bit about the fact that Abraham's tests were for him, that no two men are identical or are formed in the same way with the same abilities. He actually adds in the second paragraph a comment that it's not just our strengths that are unique to each and every one of us, but he highlights the fact that even our weaknesses, our midot ra'ot, are unique to each and every one of us. And he continues to say, "Sh'al yidei shemitgaber aleihem umishbar midotav ha'ra'ot magia letafkido v'iudo ba'olamo." When we work hard, and we work hard to be the best that we can be, despite some weaknesses in our character, some negative tendencies that we might have, that journey of working through our challenges is part of our achieving our own unique mission in the world. Very often I find that people talk about this topic and they talk about the fact that different people have different talents, different people have different things to contribute to the world, like a beautiful symphony, a beautiful mashal that I often heard from the great Rav Kuperman, who I was zocha to learn from. And they use examples of positive, melodious aspects of our personalities that contribute to the world in a unique way. The Nesiva Shalom comments and he says, no, it's also sometimes the pits in life. Sometimes it's the difficult situations that we go through and that we emerge from that are part of our unique mission on this earth. Maybe it's something which gives us perspective that allows us to be of help to other people. Maybe it gives us perspective to ourselves. If I was able to withstand that, then I surely can withstand the next curveball to come my way. But even our unique weaknesses are part of our journey in life, part of our unique lech lecha to become the best version of ourselves and the best people that we can possibly be. The Nesiva Shalom continues. And he says, not only are these challenges, the challenges that we experience in life, unique and specific to us, but he points out that Abraham's tests were often expressed through a language of halicha, of walking, of progressing. And he points out that the goal of the tests, the goal of the challenges, were lalechet ulehitkadem tamid bidarcho. We're always trying to put one foot in front of the other. Move forward. Today should be a better day than yesterday. Not perfect, but one foot in front of the other. Our lives should be lives of lech lecha, of progress, of movement, of development. A few years ago, I read a very, very interesting book written by a man by the name of Aryeh Ben David. And he actually founded a movement that some may be familiar with called Ayeka, a movement that tries very hard within our communities and schools to bring back a sense of spirituality, a sense of spiritual growth, and a feeling that we are actually working towards coming closer to Hashem each and every day of our lives. And he suggested a formula, and I apologize if you some may have heard this from me before, but it is something which I think about quite often, both for myself personally and when I'm speaking to others. He talked about a formula that we should use of four questions anytime that we are trying to make progress in a particular area of life. And he spoke about it specifically in the realm of spirituality. Take an area where you are feeling a weakness, as the Nesiv HaShalom just referred to. Working through those weaknesses and overcoming those challenges are part of our mission. And his first question is, on a scale of 1 to 10, rank yourself. Where do you lie with 10 being the highest and 1 being the lowest? So that's an interesting question in general in terms of surveys and things. Happens to be the most popular number that's often given when people are asked to rank themselves from 1 to 10 is 6. We like to think we're a little better than average. We generally don't like to give ourselves too high a ranking. So I'm going to go with that number right now. In your mind, you're thinking to yourself, I really, really should be better with my speech. I should be more careful about the words that come out of my mouth. Right now, I'd give myself a 6. Rabbi Ben David then says, what is the second question that you need to ask yourself? And this is what I think his greatest chiddush is. You need to ask yourself, well, if you gave yourself a 6, what does a 7 look like? Now, why is that such a chiddush? Why is that something unusual and different than the way most people think? So he points out that most people's mind, when they've given themselves a 6, automatically goes to 10. Well, what is the person who never speaks Lashon Hara look like? What was the Chafetz Chaim's Shabbos table like? What would he have added if he was in a WhatsApp group or on any other form of social media? And we know the answer. He didn't speak Lashon Hara. Rabbi Ben David suggests, and I'm paraphrasing in my own words now, that that's actually a really dangerous way of thinking. Because what happens to most of us? We're thinking about what that 10 is. And we say, that was nice for him, but that's not normal. He's not living in the real world. He doesn't know my tchunot hanefesh. He doesn't know my internal makeup, my wiring, my circumstances, that I need to do this to vent, to let out my frustrations, whatever it might be. And we give up. It's a nice biography. It's a nice story. And we find ourselves stuck at that place on the spectrum we call 6. But if we were to simply ask ourselves, what does one notch higher look like? We would be creating a mindset. These are not Rabbi Ben David's words, but I'm now adapting the words of the Nesiv HaShalom to this concept of halicha, of progressing, of moving step by step. Our entire lives are meant to be lives is meant to be lived in a way where we are constantly progressing, where we're moving higher and higher. And the message of Rabbi Ben David is if you shoot for the gold all the time, you probably will go nowhere. You need to do things the way that we walk, not the way that we fly or run. Lech lecha, walk, go for yourself. Lashon halicha, step by step, bit by bit. That is the key to spiritual growth. I'll quickly run through questions 3 or 4 if everyone's interested. Question 3 is, what is getting in the way of you reaching that next step? That's actually a much simpler question to answer than how do you get to 10? That feels like flying, but what's in the way of it? And question number 4 is, what could you do to remove that obstacle to allow you to comfortably and easily move one notch higher? Lech lecha, what is your obstacle? What is in your way? Not what somebody else's, not what somebody wrote a book about. Your own introspection to move forward and to be able to achieve the next step in spiritual growth. But the Nesiva Shalom continues with an unbelievable observation. He points out that if Abraham's journey was a journey of halicha, we don't just find those words of moving step by step at the beginning of last week's parsha with Lech Lecha, but we actually find them once again in last week's parsha and in this week's parsha as well. He points out to us that we see these words, Gimel Pa'amim, Lashon Halicha. First, there was the commandment to move forward out of the land that Abraham was born in, out of his father's home, and out of his birthplace. And the Nesiva Shalom tells us, Ki hatzivui lalechet lehitkadem ba'avodat Hashem shayach b'chol tkufot chayav shel ish Yehudi. He says that this concept of moving one step and constantly trying to grow with the circumstances that you're in is the concept of a Jew. And these 3 times that Avram Avinu was told, Lech Lecha, happened at 3 different times in his life. The first, to leave his father's house when he was younger. The second, when he was told, Hitalech Lefanai Veheyeh Tamim. He was told when he was 99 years old. That was middle age for Avraham. And finally, the Lech Lecha of this week's parsha, where he takes his son to the Akedah, Lech Lecha al Eretz HaMoria, he was told at a much later stage in life, when in the lifespan of Avram Avinu, we would consider him to be elderly. The Slonim Rebbe teaches us 2 things here, that growing and developing in life, rising to the challenges and learning from the challenges of life, continues throughout all of life. The second lesson of Avram Avinu answers not the question of for whom are the tests, they're for you, that was number 1, but when are the tests in life? They are throughout life. And when I read the Nesiva Shalom, I thought to myself, isn't it interesting that every stage of life really presents its own unique challenges to us? It's not just that God could hit you with external tests at any moment, that Hashem is in control, that he can bring a virus like this at any point. Anything can happen to any of us, and we recognize and feel our vulnerabilities at any moment in life. But intrinsic in every stage of life are unique tests for that stage of life. Perhaps when we're younger, it's about competition among siblings, sibling rivalry. Perhaps as young mothers, it's about learning how to have patience with children. Perhaps as we grow older, it's about learning how to be patient with a spouse or even with ourselves. Perhaps at one stage in life, it's about finding the time to daven. Perhaps at another stage of life, it's about finding the motivation to daven. Every stage of life brings its own unique challenges. And the message of that is similar to Avram Avinu, who had this command of Lech Lecha at three different distinct points in life. Those challenges are meant to help us flex muscles that we didn't even know that we had. All of us have a long list of things that if we were asked 7 or 8 months ago, could you imagine spending this time without family? Could you imagine doing this without cleaning help? Could you imagine juggling work and family responsibilities when they're all happening out of the same room at the same time? So many of us would have said, no, we couldn't imagine it. But every stage, whether it's the chronological stages of life or the various phases that we move through in life due to external circumstances, they're all part of the Lech Lecha experience. They all help us flex and develop muscles that we never knew we had and certainly didn't know how to use. I want to conclude with a very, very interesting phenomenon that takes us into this coming week's Parsha and next week's Parsha. Because it's at the beginning of next week's Parsha, Parshas Chayisara, where the tests of Avraham conclude. And they culminate, according to many, with the very difficult task of burying his wife, Sarah. And interestingly, the test doesn't seem to lie in the emotional difficulty as much as in the technical difficulty in securing a place for her in Hebron, the area that we now know to be Ma'arat HaMachpelah. And many people look at the tests of Avraham as this halicha, this progression of he moves from stage to stage, from madriga to madriga, from level to level. And they find it very curious, because after all, in this week's parsha, the parsha ends with what many of us would assume is the ultimate test, where a parent is asked to bring their child up as a karban laHashem, as a sacrifice to God. So once he did that, who cares about having a rough day or a rough few days trying to secure a plot of land and arrange for a burial place for his wife, Sarah, in a difficult business deal? So I once heard an amazing explanation from Rabbi Tzvi Flam. And he explained that we need to focus not just on who the tests are for and when we find tests throughout life, but we need to recognize what the true tests of life are. You see, we could be fooled into thinking that the true tests of life are found in the big moments, in those, you gotta be kidding, experiences of he was asked to bring his son up as a sacrifice, the very same person who fought so hard against that kind of pagan behavior and service to God, he must have been so embarrassed. That's crazy. And emotionally, how could he bring his own child up? And intellectually, God just promised that your children were going to be like the stars in the sand, as we spoke about a few minutes ago. And now we're going to sacrifice his son and cut off all possibility of that? That was a crazy test. The big moment tests that are so hard to believe that they're even happening, said Rabbi Flam, are not necessarily the most major tests in life. He brought an interesting proof from a very famous Rashi that you'll find in source 5, the last source on the source sheet, on Psukim that we are all familiar with. The Torah teaches us in Devarim Perek Vav, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol ma'odecha. We are meant to love, we are commanded to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and according to one of the explanations of Rashi, with all of our money. But Rashi recognizes that if the word ma'odecha means money, then this pasuk is in a very strange order. Because once you told me that I should love God with all of my heart and all of my soul, and Rashi there suggests that it means that I should even be willing to give up my soul for God. Why do you have to tell me that I have to love my God with all of my money and make sure that you aren't stingy when you bought your lulav and esrog this year and you bought a really nice one? If I'm willing to give up my life, then I must be willing to give up my money. I must be willing to part with my money. So Rashi there famously suggests, well, I don't know, maybe there's some people who actually love their money more than they value their own lives. Rabbi Flaum suggested something which I think is so incredibly insightful, and he paralleled it to the Nisyonos, the tests of Abraham, and I believe it's the third lesson for our lives as well. You see, the tests of the big moments are very significant, and in no way, shape, or form can we minimize those very difficult decisions that people make. And it could be the wonderful stories that we see in the general world, and certainly when we see them among our brothers, Achenu B'nai Yisrael, the incredible Kiddush Hashem, of somebody coming across $100,000 cash in the back of a taxi, and they're at a test moment. They can either keep it for themselves or they could try to return it to their rightful owner. It's a big test, and they choose to do it. It's incredibly impressive. Yitgadel v'yikadesh. What an incredible Kiddush Hashem in the world when people pass that test, don't take something that doesn't belong to them and return it to its rightful owner. But then it's over. The actual moment of the test might not have been more than a split second, because the big moment tests come and go. Said Rabbi Flaum, you know why B'chol Ma'odecha comes after B'chol Nafshecha? Because the real tests in life, the most difficult tests in life, the hardest tests in life, are those that we deal with day in and day out. That consistent Jew who confronts every day with a sense of halicha, how am I moving forward in my life with my tchunot ha-nefesh, with my unique character traits, with my unique inner wiring, with my blessings and with my challenges. That day-to-day existence of how will I interact with the people closest to me, not what will I do when the spotlight is on me in that moment, but what will I do in my regular mundane interactions with people who I work with people in my family? What will my attitude be towards the way that I share and spend my money and interact with people in business? And therefore, even for Avram Avinu, who manages in this week's parsha to pass the incredible test of Akedas Yitzchak, the unimaginable, but more of a split second moment type of test. The test that followed that, there was a follow-up test. There was a sequel. And that was a test in a mundane interaction of acquiring a plot of land that among people in real estate and business happens every day of the year. Because when we show ourselves to be people who recognize that the challenges of life are opportunities for our growth, that the challenges of life afford us opportunities to strengthen muscles that we never knew existed, to do things that we never believed we were capable of, that were unimaginable to us in the past, then we are showing ourselves on a day-to-day basis to be Lech Lecha Jews. Jews who, as the Nesiv HaShalom explained, are people who are constantly looking to grow, to develop, to progress themselves step by step, to build themselves as people who are growing and becoming the best version of themselves. I think it's this last piece that actually I found to be most befitting of Danny and the things that we all can learn from her and her lifetime. As Ariel so beautifully said, Dani was a person who really did not like the spotlight, who abhorred fanfare and fame. Incredibly modest, incredibly humble. She moved through her all too short life with an incredible sense of lech lecha, of progression, of looking at each day as being a day of accomplishment, of moving through challenges, of trying to be a better person than she was the day before. For Dani, it was not about the stage or the spotlight, but for Dani, it was about being the best you can be day in and day out. May we continue to learn from her example, from this incredible, incredible midrashah that has been created and established in her memory, as we too learn from Avraham Avinu and from Dani to rise to the challenges in our lives.